שלום לכם, אתם מצטרפים אלינו לסדרת השיחות.
You're joining our series of educational conversations with Dr. Lightman. Hello everyone. On these conversations, we're simulating a situation where Dr. Lightman is a teacher. Before him sits a class. I'm only one, but I present them. We learn from Dr. Lightman lesson after lesson, different things that he thinks that will do good for us in our life, for our families, for the society we live in, for our country and the world, for things to be good. Join us. Hello, Dr. Lightman. You promised things. This is why I came to the course. We are scrutinizing here the laws of nature that we're in. We're in some kind of a world that's around us, right? I am in a world. And in this world, I discover that there is a certain lawfulness that influences me. And so, we intelligent beings can examine, see, scrutinize what's good for us, what's bad, what can make our life better or more fulfilling for the future, more promising for the future. And man's work in the world, by which he differs from the living level, from the living world, animalistic world, is that he has wisdom. And by that wisdom, he can develop himself so that he's not like animals that live instinctively, that get orders from within to behave one way or another corresponding to their nature. But a person has some kind of a freedom in his actions, which is above the living level. And the freedom from his actions sometimes brings him to unpleasant situations. We see that a person can sustain himself. And animals, they don't engage, they don't take drugs, they don't drink alcohol, they don't really harm each other. If they eat each other, then it's only in order, it's for their existence, only in order to exist, but it's not that they have an ego, an evil inclination, that they want to do, that they want to harm others, and they get pleasure as a result of controlling someone else, and that is what satisfies that animal. No. We see that a man has excessive desire which is not fully determined by absolute laws from nature, but that desire is kind of free. Do whatever you want, not only in order to eat and to keep the generation going and build a house, but further desires to get to know the world, to develop science, explore, develop education, everything that you have. Enjoy life. But this desire actually as if pushes us to use things in a good way. We see that the very opposite. Sometimes we're worse than animals. Sometimes I envy a dog or a cat that live next to a man. Their life is good. Their life is secure and promised. They have everything that they need. And man, he's a poor being, suffering, always in competition, eating himself up, looking at others. He has envy, hate. He has demand for lust and honor. And these inclinations that exist in a person beyond the animalistic level, we see that throughout our history that we don't know how to use them correctly, where instead of reaching a good, happy life, we come to the very opposite. And we already talked about it, and maybe we'll return again to this short story of ours, that when we also look at our private life, we see that we start developing from a drop of seed of dad and mom, so nature prepares for us a secure place inside our mother and develops us inside our body. protects us within the waters, within the womb. So we're born there after we have developed in a protected way. And also, when we come out into this world, then the love of the father and mother protects us, even though we're completely not ready for anything as a newborn baby. And so the society eventually, all in all, relates to a child protectively, in understanding, in a good and nice attitude, until we grow up. And this is how it was for many generations throughout all times, and also in our times, even though relatively it was destroyed and ruined lately. But until a person standing on his own 2 feet when he's about 20, he's fit for life, he gets support from his relatives and even from more distant people that always treat him such that he has to develop. Give him an opportunity, give him the ability, give him what he needs, because he is still not grown. And that is imprinted in us from nature instinctively, that this is how we relate to the new generation. And afterwards, when we start life, when we start our adult life, the life of a mature person, suppose from the age of 20 and on, we see that immediately we're treated such that the relative demands more of us, the relatives demand more of us, and the environment demands more from us, and also the laws, the laws in the country demand different things of us. So, of course, if I do something at the age of 10 or the age of 20, different laws apply to me and a different punishment. At the age of 10, I'm told that's not good, not worthwhile. At the age of 20, I get a serious punishment like any other person in society. And we see that there is a kind of an inversion, a transition in the attitude of the environment and nature toward man, that until we grow up, nature and our environment treats us nicely and well, and when we grow up and we start living like grown-ups, then nature and our environment as if treats us poorly. I want to keep on going like a small child, not to feel that I'm obligated, that I have to be forgiven for different things like earlier, to be treated nicely like before. But that doesn't happen. The other way around, we're starting to be treated in terms of, okay, so what do we see? What are you doing? What did we get from you in return? And so on. Meaning there is no longer that mercy which I became accustomed to throughout the years of my childhood and adolescence. And this transition that comes to us from our own nature is very radical. Also exists among animals, where there too the parents, they keep their offsprings, protect them until they get on their feet and start moving and know the environment. And then after a few months or maybe even a year or two, it depends on the kind of the living species we're talking about, and that's it. They're free and they have to provide food for themselves and build a family and a flock and so on. But it's not that opposite. It's not that contrasting, like in human society, and it's supposed to as if be the very opposite. Because our society, where we are smart people of opinion, of understanding, we use our wisdom in order to change the world, in order to make it more convenient, more comfortable. Why aren't we making it better and more convenient and comfortable toward a grown-up? for grown-ups, so that a person after the age of 20 will see himself nonetheless in a good and nice environment, and he has abundance and excellent relations, and keeps on going that way. And we see that nevertheless, nature that has advanced us throughout its evolution thought about us that we will suffer. So we will suffer as a result of pressure and punishment and life under stress. And by that, we will change. And probably here, we have some kind of an ability to learn something from nature. What does it want from us? And the truth is that here, we're stumbling upon two things. On the one hand, we see that if we relate to the environment and society nicely, and if we build together a good, whole, perfect society, so that just like I was born, before birth, I was inside a womb. After birth, I was also in a kind of like the family sort of greenhouse. Afterwards, in kindergarten, there in school, suppose that life relatively was somehow protected, was protecting me. Why can we not build such an attitude of everyone towards everyone for us to continue nicely? What is it that destroys the good and healthy continuity for us? Was it ever that way? If we look into history, into the very ancient generations, we see that in truth, this is how they lived. Like one big clan, like a group, like one village, where everyone took care of everyone. You can call it a communistic form or a primitive form. It doesn't matter. But this is how it used to be. That everyone went to get food. The women stayed at home with the children to prepare the food, to stay with everyone's children. Even still today, in different parts of the world, you can find this form, these forms of life. And what happened afterwards? Why have we not grown the very same way, only enlarger to a larger extent and quantity and technology and the culture and so on that we developed, but still in that nice, good environment? What was so bad about the relations between us that they went wrong, that they were destroyed? What changed? And here, we return to those same things that we learned, that the thing that grew in us is our ego, each one's private ego, and this distanced ourselves from one another, and we started looking at each other not as brothers, but as some kind of people that I'm in competition with whom more, with whom less, and I want to control others. I want to buy another as my worker or as my slave. I even want to come up to him and steal and acquire what he has, because we have no longer mutual things between us, a household and everything together. Meaning that our ego that started separating between us from that communist primitive environment, society, ancient society, our ego, that is what destroyed the situation for us. Were it not for the growing of the ego, and were we to only grow in wisdom, would have been great. Only the problem is that the growing ego pushes us to achieve wisdom, to achieve new things, to unfold nature, nature's resources and this is what actually develops, progresses us. But in with respect to progress, the ego that's developing an ever greater will to receive, it's good. Only as long as that will to receive were it to develop in order to attain good and good and good and better things, but not only for myself, but for the whole environment. And were we to know about that, and immediately would have treated ourselves as if we're holding each other in our arms and not letting our ego separate between us, where all of its actions in order to grow the different urges and desires in us will be only in favor of society. Is that possible? We see from history that it is impossible. And according to history, to this day, we've developed such that the ego that grew between us is like a mountain of hatred, a mountain of envy, and envy, lust, and honor, demanding envy, lust, and honor, and tremendous control that I want to introduce over everyone. And so to this day, we're in a great crisis where we have everything. But because of the poor attitude toward each other, we cannot determine, we cannot define any good laws. And we are in an uncomfortable, possibly to say, bad life without any security, without any health. By our competition, we destroy nature, ecology, and so on and so forth. And in accordance with the extent to which we use our ego for the worst, for bad things, instinctively, we can't control it. We don't control it. But correspondingly, we feel our life as worse and worse. And so it follows that nature that develops us relates to us the environment, its laws, relates to us in two directions. On the one hand, develops the ego in us, and on the other hand, shows us how this force that grows in us, the force of evil, that ever more separates between us, places me against others. This force is the reason for all evil, and I'm being punished for it. What can we do? That it is now in my ability, within me, I have these two contradictory forces. On the one hand, the desire to benefit at the expense of all the others, and then I feel kind of a satisfaction. On the other hand, when I use it, I do not reach satisfaction. Eventually, I come to a point where society is destroyed, science, culture, my personal life, everything is destroyed as a result of that power that advances and develops. Now, again, the question, are we capable of changing the way we use our egos? And if so, then how? We talked about it, that nature is one force that operates on the whole of reality, encompasses us as one law, the law of connection, participation, and love, the law of bestowal, that we see how it operates, all of its parts, in the still vegetative animate in man. And so there is the definition of life, of development, that person constantly adds warmth and food, nourishment, all that is necessary for development. And if so, how can we find, if we can't find in ourselves, If we can't find that in ourselves, how do we find a force in nature that will restrain our ego and give us the ability to use it into a good direction? Not that suddenly we bring ourselves down from the level of the great egoists, because through this motivation, through this urge, we have reached tremendous development, technology, and that everyone has, as we said, 8-10 hours a day of free time. Where we can allow ourselves today to do different things, and it's not only that we pursue in order to we try to get food and clothing and home and so on. We're free throughout the day. We can allow ourselves a third of our day to be engaged in things that can be beneficial for everyone, as if our time of leisure, our free time. So if the ego has brought us to this excellence in the development of technology, so let's see, how can we use the ego for good things? How can we restrain it? How can we aim it from hatred toward others to love for others? That by this we actually leave our life as it is, and we can further and further develop in all that a person is doing in life, in family, in kids' education, in culture, in health, in everything that we see in this world. We'll develop ourselves, we'll develop space, we'll go out into space, we'll do everything, but in a good, nice way. If we could only know, how can we control the ego that's a part of our nature in favor of what? In favor of the environment, in favor of the general society, where we will take into consideration, not like today that a person takes into consideration his own benefit, but how will we bring a person the ability, the consideration of the vast environment, so he'll feel himself like in the past he felt himself in a clan, like in a small village, where we are all brothers. It's impossible that I think about others any differently and think only about myself. Like back then, as they were developing, if today we'll advance a person above his ego to think and see everyone as brothers, as one family, is that possible? Where will we take the brains, the feelings to do it, so it will truly occur in us instinctively, so that I won't have to make tremendous efforts, which is impossible, but that suddenly we will find some kind of a remedy? I take a pill, and then I see the whole world through integral glasses, that everyone's like one. I didn't know this, but now suddenly I see that you and he and she, everyone, 7 billion people, are all parts of mine. I really didn't know that they're all my relatives, and I'll feel my relatives, not like I feel them today, where I'm proudful over them, like, look who I am with respect to you. But know that I'll feel that I have to care for them at least like I care for myself, or like for my smaller children, that I care for them before I care for myself. Where is this pill by which we can correct only the attitude between us? Each one of us, his own environment, throughout the whole of humanity, and then for sure we can prosper and flourish despite this crisis that as if stops us in oral forms of development, where we have reached a dead end, like we talked about it on our last session, that we feel that we have lost our way in the desert, and where should we go? we don't know how to advance, or something that we don't know. So here, we have to think, where do we take this power in order to restrain our nature, to use it completely, but invert the direction we use it, as if for myself that I'm constantly aiming and I want to put the whole world under my own control, because I instinctively care for it. But for me to invert my attitude, for me to think in favor of others, in favor of the environment, so that it'll be an so that I'll have an instinctive feeling toward them, like toward my children, then great. And this is what we'll do with everyone. We'll give everyone this remedy, and then the world will be full of love. And besides that, we'll maybe also be able to understand then that we are actually destroying our nature, and not that there are any other corruptions here. Maybe as a result of us making between ourselves these kinds of relations of mercy and mutual consideration, will also cause nature, the environment, to also come into mutual consideration, and so on. We learn from other researchers that the whole of nature is interconnected, round, integral, that we also influence the still vegetative and animalistic world for the worse. And if we come into the right kind of integral connections between us, then not only that our attitude towards nature and so on will change, that we're destroying our environment and so on, but even the relations between us that are also our mental forces, these are also the powers of nature, the power of thought, the power of desire. It says that these are the greatest forces in reality that also are a part of that field of forces, that these forces, they truly penetrate our world from edge to edge and control the whole system, and between the stars and between people and between everyone and everything. So maybe through the balance of the relations between us will cause further balance in nature, meaning not only us, but our whole small world, and all in all, who knows what and how, will get into further balance and calmness. Will enter balance and calmness. Here we have to see from our actions, from our research of nature, we have to see how can we influence man, that the influence of man can happen only through the environment, from that very egoistic force to control the environment, meaning that a person, beyond where he is, where he constantly wants to control the environment, beyond his basic needs, where he wants to use it in favor of himself, as if to bend it for nature to be under him, for the environment to be under him. Meaning he is reliant, he depends on his environment. If we place the environment against a person and show him the very opposite, that what we expect of him is a good attitude, otherwise we do not accept him. And we demand of him to start treating us differently, then those very inclinations that he has for envy, lust, honor, control, all of these things, he, whether he wants it or not, he will have to invert them to the form that society demands them to, because specifically that evil inclination in a person that demands a connection with his environment, only a kind of a connection where he is boss over everything, the environment, without cutting off this connection, bring back the info to him saying, no, you want to be great, you want to be proud, you want to, as if, be above us? Great, no problem, but in your good and nice attitude, not in the bad attitude. Meaning that very inclination, that same desire that we was used as if adversely against society and against your own self. Now a person gradually understands that as a result, because he is dependent on his environment, on society, he has to invert it into the opposite, to turn it into something good. We see from corrupted things in our world, from corrupted examples. Suppose a person that goes for politics. What does he want? He wants to control. He wants to show everyone that he's great. He wants to introduce new laws, a new regime, to put himself above everyone. What does he do? He says the very opposite. I will serve everyone. I want in favor of everyone. I will be best for you. I will be your father, your beloved, loving father, and so on. We see that in different such cases in life, that the connection of man with his environment, at least verbally, we see how it happens. He can have egoistic, completely egoistic intentions, and we understand that he has to be the opposite. So, what happens here is only one thing. That if we place the right kind of environment in front of a person, that will educate him, we'll have no problem. Like that person, like that egoistic person who wants to be a president and goes out to the people and says, I'll give you everyone this and that and a home and work for everyone and vacation and health and security and whatnot. Promises everything. Now, the environment has to treat him back the same way. You want it? Great. Work for us. Bestow good onto us, and you'll truly be appreciated. You'll really get what you deserve according to the good things that you can do for us. Meaning, again, we're returning to the same situation where here there's no point in coming up to a person with complaints. It's like now you're sitting in our classroom, in our circle, and we're thinking about how to change our life. We can't demand each and everyone to change. No, we're not pointing at you and you and you and you. Okay, well, start changing this way, that way. That is completely not the approach of... It's not a scientific, it's not a wise approach, turning directly to the person. But what we can do is do it through the environment, indirectly, to turn to each and every one and to influence him such that he'll get everything that he needs, and without any effort from himself, he'll grow up like in a greenhouse, where according to the heat and moisture and the pressure, air pressure, not pressure on him, and different external conditions, he will get a corresponding form and will achieve everything in a nice, pleasant way, like kids play and become wiser, achieve things through playing, meaning everything depends on the influence of society over a person. And if we're smart, then let's not think how each one of us has to change. No. But we'll put up a show, we'll make a theater, the play of life. It's a crucial play, but it's actually a game for us to feel pleasant playing it, engaging in it, so that the free hours that the ego has released for us in life, has freed for us in life, we'll spend those hours on building out of ourselves, for ourselves, a good, nice environment, and through with educators, helpers, our teachers, we actually, without thinking about it, without making an effort, will grow like children that grow through games. And then we will come to an easy change. Only knowing how to correctly use the free time, the spare time, and knowing how to use this wisdom that we're learning now and how to change ourselves, about how to change ourselves and to bring ourselves to the right form. And really, there's a question here. Why didn't we do it earlier? Why didn't we do it in advance? What stood in our way of doing these things, suppose, thousands of years ago when we were already in such a primitive environment on previous generations? Because we didn't know. We couldn't get to know the evil. Our evil. We thought that our ego is helping us to develop. We didn't feel it as something bad. We didn't feel it's evil. We thought that it's pushing us toward progress, development. And we didn't know the evil. Well, okay, we distanced from each other. We built ourselves nucleus families, countries, so on. Okay, but we didn't think that it will bring us to such a vast destruction. Only in recent years do we start acknowledging the critical state that we're in, and only the building of a new environment that can make a new man, which is like an incubator, like a greenhouse. It's like by a craftsman that it creates a new human being that, instead of using all of his forces above the living levels, animalistic levels, to be instead of being a bad person, to be a good person. Meaning all of the power that exists in our environment, in the public, in society, in humanity, in the world, we will use it in the good, the right direction. And then anyone who starts connecting with others, he starts feeling himself that he is actually together with everyone in mind and heart, in a single mind, as if in a single body. To such an extent that those thoughts, those desires that roam the world, they will all be felt and understood by him, that each one of us started including the whole of humanity in himself. And then we will see how nature, in its development, in its influence over us, brings us to a wondrous state where each one of us feels himself like the whole, like the collective. And by this, we reach a state where a person completely transcends the feeling of a small, short life and starts feeling through the whole of humanity our integral world. And this way, we will reach the realization of the main power in life, the ego that separates us and elevates us above the living degree that truly elevates and does not bring us down to such a miserable, ignoble life of fear and anxiety, which is even worse than the animalistic level, where sometimes I look at my cat or dog and envy their life. This is an answer to your first question. I have more questions as a result of this answer, please. If I understand the message of what you have taught us today, then what you're saying is that man's nature is egoism. And we have to play a more developed state, where on the inside, I don't have a good attitude toward you, but nevertheless, we'll build such a kind of a fake system of relationship. No. This word is, it really hurts me. No. We are people who are different than the animalistic level, by having a desire to use in our own favor or for the adversely against the others. In my own favor, meaning that I want to use full abundance by using others. The environment, it could be still vegetative, animate, then no, I'm talking about human society. I want to use human society in order to feel good. I go outside to steal a bit, to hear some rubbish, to have a good time, a bit of this, a bit of that. I want to use them. Or I want to use them more cruelly. I want by some kind of a banking program, banking plan to get out, to get much money out of them. I want to invade some country to really destroy it and take everything that I can from there. All the people in that country, to turn them into my slaves and so on. It doesn't matter. I want to use the environment. I want to use society. Meaning, with respect to the living level, I have two further additional things above the living level, the animalistic level. It is the human society, something that animals don't have, that on behalf of nature, I'm obligated to be inside society, and I can't escape if I want to live in a convenient way, meaning that nature, it builds a human environment, connects me to that human environment because I can't live without it. If I live in the jungle, I come down to the animalistic level, and besides being inside society and want to work against it, I eventually come to a crisis where we're interdependent, and in this interdependency we reach mutual hatred and come to a state where everything stops, meaning life is no longer for the better. It doesn't bring me happiness, freedom, warmth. The very opposite, very mechanical, for lack of any other choice, only go down to drugs, alcohol, escape everyone. I don't know what to do about everyone. Horrible. This is the current situation, suppose. And we're not satisfied from life. We look at our kids, we look at their school, we look at all that's going on. Really, there is no satisfied person. But it's only the it's the least of two evils. On the other hand, we have this wisdom. We have the brains by which we can look at this, what we have stumbled upon, and to reach conclusions that the whole origin of the evil life is in my relation toward human society. If this relation will be good, only from the surplus that I throw away in terms of food, I can feed the whole world. Only from the surplus that I'm throwing now into making weapons, in order to arm myself, I can create apartments, palaces, I don't even know how to say it, a house with a swimming pool and a lawn for everyone, for each and every person in the world. I can advance myself in protecting ecology and everything. I remember that a few years ago, everyone was really inspired that finally humanity has collected money and built the collider in Switzerland. The collider in which now they discover different bosons and the new elements and speed that is beyond the speed of light and as if the secrets of nature. This collider that they've collected money for several years, and everyone was yelling, where is it, what, how? All in all, it costs like 1 week for the American army in Iraq. So they made a calculation how much it costed, that it's under the ground and the whole structure. All in all, what it cost is like to keep the American army for a week in Iraq. Look what we're talking about. What resources we have that our ego consumes and doesn't let us free it for a good life. What gold mines we have. And we're really throwing it away into the sea. If we will make statistics of what can we do by merely stopping the arming ourselves, spending in 5% of the population of the world, maybe by 5% of the population of the world, we can provide for the whole of humanity what they need. But don't think, and here I want to warn, that if so, that 8 hours we sleep, a few hours we take care of ourselves, our home, and so on, and we have 10 hours left free. Don't think that in these 10 free hours that you have left over, you lay in the sun and warm yourself. No, but in order to sustain yourself in the right way, in the right form with respect to society, you will have to dedicate every day several hours to be operated by these good kinds of activities of society over each and every one of us. And this and suddenly we discover why has nature relieved these hours for us. And then any person who becomes free of any concern for himself, in order to really be free from any concern for himself and to get anything that he needs from the new world, from the new relations, he'll have to care for these new relations. He'll have to constantly advance them, constantly sustain them on a high level above his ego. Yes. So on these throughout these new processes of relations between us, where I have to try and nicely relate to others, if this is the central point throughout this process, it's not that of a revolutionary point. It's pretty trivial. Yeah, using the known forces of nature, but we have to reach a state where we will really see that we have no choice. Only then does a person agree. When millions take to the streets, millions of unemployed, where mothers are afraid to send their kids to school, that there's violence and drugs and prostitution there, and that they are afraid of going out to the streets, that from one day to the next you're afraid about what's going to happen with medical care and with security, that all things and the cultural development come to a stop. We see how important it is to a person and how we're in a situation where we can no longer stand the things that we create, because we're becoming ever more limited due to our ego in whatever we create, whatever we make, and everything. When we will decide that our life this way is no longer a life, we don't want to get married, we don't want to make children, our children don't want to live, they're actually asking us, why did you bring us into this world? What for? I don't want to live. You did it for your own pleasure. We're coming to a generation that sees no future. And a person can't develop without that, can't live without that, without a future. Thus, despair is the number one illness, sickness in the world. It's the most common illness, this blow of depression. They're even making antidepressants for domestic animals. So, like I said, theoretically, we could have reached a good, nice development in the first generations where we were like brothers, when we developed like brothers back then, but we couldn't. You see how naturally we have developed with our ego until we have reached a state that today we can only determine that it brings us harm. We were not in understanding of this earlier. Who thought that my ego is bad? I went to study. Suppose me. I was a small child. I liked technology. I liked science. I went to study. I studied in school. Along with it, I went to sports and different circles and then to university. And I acquired a profession, and after the university, I worked in this research institution, and so on and so forth. And my ego was constantly pushing me to, I think, good things. I wanted to get to know the world. It's also a kind of a control, but not to control others forcefully, but higher than that. I remember myself, what do I care about humanity? I don't want to look at these petty things. I want to be like the Creator, to know everything that's going on. I want to be on the level of those laws, of those of the greatest qualities of nature that control the world. I want to understand everything as if swallow everything, the wisdom, the ability of nature. Not simply on this human level to be in this great market. I remember my attitude toward humanity and to everything that there is on earth. I don't want this earth altogether. I want to really be on the level of swallowing the entire universe into myself. So I can't say that this attitude, even though it's egoistic, but in those times, it pushed me forward to advance. Only later from this did I come to the recognition of evil, that if not in favor of humanity, it's bad. There are also many things about this. There are many levels to it. Am I reaching this? And this is in between us, those that are studying on our course. Am I coming to bestow good onto humanity because I have no other choice, because as a result I'll have something very good in return? Or I start loving humanity as a result of thinking that I'll have something good from it. Suddenly I start acknowledging altogether that loving is good, without even anything, without even getting anything in return. That there is some kind of a special force about it, a quality that warms the heart, that extends the feeling that I really enjoy loving them, not what I get from them in return. Suddenly, such voids open in a person, in his feelings, in his consciousness, that today we're still not aware of. But it's bit by bit, and cause and consequence, one after the other, opens inside himself such qualities that were really hidden inside a person and now are being developed. So it's impossible to say that how come now we're using this, it's trivial, what is it about these things? True. These forces exist, only what was missing was the recognition of evil. This is why we couldn't start treating ourselves through the environment. You gave a good example that when you were a child and you wanted to study and know and understand from a desire to control, to dominate. Maybe it wasn't that conspicuous back then, but now when I look back at myself, then I see that it came as a result of the desire to dominate. What's egoistic about it? It's not egoistic to want to know, understand. Nothing egoistic about it. True, it's an ego, but it's not the evil inclination. In the ego, there are several things. I want to fill myself with knowledge, with understanding, with a good feeling, with different things, without harming others as if I'm alone in the world, but to fill myself. In filling myself, there are supposed two levels. One level is that I want to fill myself like any living body. It's in food, sex, family, and whatever animals have as well. And furthermore, I want to fulfill myself by wealth, meaning riches, money, honor, and knowledge. And this is something that I can fill myself up with only by society. This is riches and honor. And knowledge, this is already by the acknowledgement, the understanding of the general collective nature. If I use desires which are above the animalistic level, then these are human desires, which I use in order to for my own human fulfillment, riches, money, honor. It's also the ego. I want to fill myself up as much as I can. I go and open, discover more and more. In this ego, there is a part called the evil inclination. The evil inclination is that I want to fill myself up by suppressing others. Maybe I'm using them the way they use me, in a good, nice, convenient way, like in a family, like with the beloved ones, that I use whom I love and he uses me for our mutual pleasure, for a mutual fulfillment, to feel good and comfortable. This is the matter of connection. It could be friends, it could be spouses, it could be anything. It's also using others, but not adversely against others. Thus, it's also called the ego, a desire, but it's not evil, because it's not aimed at harming others. Now, if I want to enjoy, suppose in my family, if I go outside and forcefully want to attain pleasure, that's called the evil inclination. Where I want to get pleasure without taking others into consideration or by harming others. And here too, there is a spectrum of relations. Maybe I get pleasure without considering others. Maybe I enjoy only harming others as a result. And here, but all in all, it's called evil. What all in all is called evil? If I want to enjoy feeling that the other suffers from me, because of me, and maybe it's possible that it's enough, not that he suffers from me, but I simply disregard him altogether, don't consider him. Suppose I did this, I don't know, I pulled this trick on the bank and I drew $1 from every person and I got billions of dollars as a result and no one knows. That's it. I enjoy receiving money. And possibly, I enjoy not only getting the money, but also that I told them that I did it and I succeeded to steal from them, that I stole from them, and now I have those billions of dollars from them. I enjoy putting them down. I enjoy degrading them, humiliating them. What do I want to show with this example? That there is a large variety of attitudes, of relations from me to the environment, from the point where I disregard them altogether or I enjoy it. If I disregard you altogether, then okay, do this, do that, and that's it. If I consider you, I say, no, take him and get this and that out of him, meaning I take your personality into consideration. I want to harm you, and that's what I enjoy. Or I connect to you like, I relate to you like to some machine, getting out of it whatever I need. Meaning we have reached a state where our evil inclination is developing such that we, as a humanity, enjoy harming others. That each one of us doesn't simply disregard others like it was 200 years ago in the beginning of the industry. The workers, the this, the that, what is that? Who are they? Slaves, or they're next to me as garbage? No. Today? No. Today I consider both your wisdom, your artistry, the profession you have acquired. We have reached a state in our development that everyone is someone, is something, and correspondingly my ego wants to enjoy how much more I am with respect to you, how much more I can use you. I enjoy being higher than you. This is the sign of the most developed evil inclination. Not to simply be wealthy. So what if I'm wealthy? Who knows about it? Only my banker knows that I have a few zeros in my account there. That's it. No one else. This is what we need. No, I enjoy coming out, going out with a luxurious car, luxurious yacht, different things. If I rule, if I control, I enjoy suppressing others because the money, it no longer satisfies me. If I have a luxurious car, I suppress others? I don't get it. No. If I have a luxurious car, it means that I measure myself towards others. So, what's the problem? It's not a problem, but, you're saying it's not a problem? Okay, then explain to me then, why is the number of suicides in the developed countries the highest? Probably lack of satisfaction in life. Lack of satisfaction, it's not enough for me. I came to the end. I can no longer draw pleasure from suppressing others. But it's not suppressing others. I bought a luxurious car. I worked hard. I made some money, bought a luxurious car. Why do you buy a luxurious car and not a carriage? Because I want to feel good with myself and with respect to others, that I have a better car with respect to others. Sure, everyone measures himself with respect to others. That means using others. That means working adversely against others. Adversely? Yes, you want to transcend him. Everyone wants to transcend. Wait, you're confusing two things. On the one hand, this brings us development. It causes us to develop. On the other hand, it causes us to reach a situation like today, where we have reached a state where the evil inclination itself, which I call the evil inclination, you can, if you don't want to, don't call it the evil inclination. That's your own choice. It brings us to a state where we no longer enjoy it. If I have reached a state that I do not enjoy being higher than others, I have no place to develop to. I am in a state where there is no point in keep on living. What will I have as a result? I don't feel any pleasure as a result. So what if I'll be richer, if I'll be more in control and power? I have to work for that. For this, I have to bother that much. So, turns out that a person has lost the root of his development, the basis, the engine of his development. I have nowhere further, no reason to further advance. So, culture. Will be more, will be less. Our kids don't want anything altogether. Education, may it be, however it is. It's all a projection of how we are inside ourselves. In lack of desire, helpless, that if once we wanted to be rich, powerful, smart, we don't want anything. To an extent to which we don't even want to continue the generation. Why? What for? Everyone is in kind of a general state of blurriness. And again, the situation, it's not simple. It's multifaceted. It's multi-layered. And all in all, when everything accumulates, it becomes clear to us that only man's attitude to the environment and back, this is where we find the solution. That if we organize our relations correctly, we can make our life excellent. And then we'll get new powers. That now we're, as if now we are helpless. Why continue and so on? Because then, when each one of us, just look, we've developed to this day, each one of us, linearly, in a, his particular development, personal development, like in a straight line. A straight line from the beginning of the world and to this day, where our desire developed and developed and developed more and more and more in quality and quantity and brings us to achievements and so on. And suddenly, a stop. No point. We ran and ran and ran, and we stop amidst the way. And what now? I don't care. I don't see the way. I see that it's this way till infinity. Why keep on running? This is what we see. This means that we have lost the way in the middle of the desert. Or in some other way you could put it. You're like in space. Where? Why? What for? What is there about it? Better said, do nothing. Meaning, my particular force, my particular fuel has come to an end. And this is why we're in such a despair. It began 50 or 60 years ago. And it causes us a crisis, a stoppage in education, culture, in our personal life, in everything. Now, this force will not renew. We as if reached the end. There's no point in living. Ask the doctors that give out medicine against depression. They'll tell you. In 2011, ask me here in the classroom. There's lots what to live for. Mister, I'm talking about statistics. In 2011, the percent of suicide in the world grew in 50%. Yeah, but we're not all that way. Yeah, but we want, before this patient called humanity dies, we want to grab him before that. We're not talking about the final state. Terminal, but it's not the final situation. But in correspondence with what's going on, this is the tendency. Better listen. I want to say that the additional force that will advance humanity, it's not from man himself that doesn't have where to bring out the desire to live for from. There's no place from where to get it from. Better off is he who wasn't born at all. But if he started connecting with others, there he will find additional forces, because he has 7 more billion desires from which he can be impressed for the better, inspired for the better, to acquire those desires, start influencing them, getting pleasure as a result, and getting this pleasure in return from them. Now we see that nature that has developed us throughout thousands of years, and at first has developed us like we relate to our children in a good way, that we lived in clans, and then has developed us in not such a good period in time, where we have reached, suppose, the age of 30, 40, or 40, 50, where we see that life isn't good. Now we're making self-scrutiny in the middle of life, and we can change our life. All of the human development as one generation, as the life of one person, now we can make a calculation about life. If I change that ill person called humanity, how does he come out of depression, of the dead end, and so on and so forth? Well, where will he get the new powers to do it? As a result of now being able to acquire his life from the environment, from society, he starts discovering that it is him, that it is all one. I actually return back to myself those very parts that are mine, only I didn't feel them that way. It's similar to some extent to a woman that has grandchildren. Suddenly she gets grandchildren. It gives her a new life. She loves them much more than she loved her children. Why? Because now this is the only pleasure that she can have in life. It really comes to her as a kind of medicine. So now we're in a state that if a person will not acquire these additional desires from the environment from which he will feel these great additional pleasures, he won't only fall into despair and depression, which is already the number one illness, and drugs and so on, but he'll go to terrorism and world wars, and really he won't know what to do about himself due to his helplessness. Why do I live in such a world? It's better to die than keep on living this way, or let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. From these simple outbreaks of asking what's the meaning in life, we see this to a small extent now in the bars and the different trips. People are looking. They can't find calmness. But later, it'll reach natural, instinctive outbreaks that wars will break out. And that we are in some kind of, in the meantime, kind of calm state, relatively calm state, with all of the recognition of evil that exists. It's not the whole recognition of evil, but what has already revealed. Now, it actually gives us the opportunity to treat the situation. So, can you give us a sentence to think about till our next meeting? In our development, in our evolution, we have reached a state in which we feel ourselves that we have lost the path, we're despaired, we're helpless, we have no remedy for our situation. The remedy is connection. By this, each one of us gets new powers, support, warmth, a new desire that he gets from the environment, a new fulfillment, and discovers in the environment in which he connects with everyone such fulfillment that he raises them, that raise him to the level of man, where he starts feeling his life above the living level. That he really feels wholeness, the wholeness and perfection in nature. And then we will discover that throughout our entire development, there is a process to our evolution, a tremendous process, a very unique process, where nature, that includes all the powers, all the forces, and all the wisdom, is bringing us to a perfect state that is ahead of us. And let's hope that we'll discover it and reach it and realize it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, too, for being with us. Till next time, all the best.